We'll be reading a couple different sections from the Gospel of Matthew this morning, and first, I would like to mention something else. You know, this is our fourth Sunday here. Amen. And what a blessed thing this is, and I think as we have gathered together in this new thing that God is doing here, that it's good to establish some things that we think, some things that we believe, some things that we know. And so I'm going to share some things that I know with you before we get into the actual message. And I speak often of the Word of God, and that is not a trite phrase for me, for this is the very Word of God. And I believe from beginning to end, from Genesis to the end of Revelation, that this is indeed the Word of God. And I then view the rest of the world through the truth that I find here. And they often appear to be in conflict. However, I choose to believe what God says and then filter the rest of the world through that. Now, I try to put that in some terms that may be a little different, maybe make that a little easier to grasp. My wife is the most truthful person I know. Good, bad, straightforward and truthful. And everything she tells me is truthful. And so she told me something that were a little fantastic that might be hard to believe if I heard it from someone else. I would know that it is true. I would know that it is true and accept it as true. The Word of God is true. And there are things in it that are fantastic and hard to believe. But it is still true.
Amen.
And I choose to see the world through the truth of God's Word. Now, we can take man's own advancements in technology, things that we can do today, and that are amazing, and go back. This is, I was reading this morning in the Washington Post, this is the 150th anniversary of the beginning of the Civil War. If we just went back that length of time and talked about 90% of what we do, people there would find it unbelievable. Anything from airplanes to cell phones to computers to whatever. They would find it completely and utterly unbelievable. And yet, they were all things that were to come to pass. And so we can look back and understand how they would have a hard time grasping that and yet see that they came to pass and that they are true. And those are only things that are done by the hand of human beings. So if we believe in an Almighty God, what is in here that is too hard to believe that He can do? What is too difficult to believe that God could do? If we talked to someone from the middle 1800s and talked about taking an airplane ride, it would sound crazy to them. But we know that it came to pass. So I believe that God created the earth in 6 days. And if you believe that God could create, time should not be a limitation. God is all-powerful, all-creative, all-able to do things. And I know we can look at some things that appear to be contradictory to that, but I believe that God's Word is true. And I don't have a hard time believing that a God that could do anything would be restrained by anything. And I believe it all the way through where Jesus is coming back. The day that Jesus is going to come and return, and if He tarries, then I will go and meet with Him. If He comes sooner, then He will come and meet with us. But amen, God is coming. Okay, I'm going to read from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Starting with verse 14. And what we're going to talk about today is faith. And we won't say everything there is to say about faith today because we couldn't possibly say it all today. But we're going to get a start on talking about faith. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before Him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And so Jesus has this teaching. It's one of three times in the Gospels that we hear about the mustard seed and having the faith the size of a mustard seed, and how all things are then possible for someone that has that faith. And boy, that just sometimes makes us feel bad. If so little bit of faith can accomplish so much, and we see ourselves accomplishing so little, I think we worry then that our faith is not very much. And I also worry that we set about then to try to do things to increase our faith. And while I do think that there are things that we do to set that in motion, there are things that we do to enable our faith to be increased, we cannot of our own power increase our faith. And to see that, we need to go back to Jesus' teaching a few days before. And this is in Matthew 13. Verse 31. He told them yet another parable. Remember, this is before the passage we just heard. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." So, what happens to that seed that allowed it to grow to be the largest thing in the garden? I have this little seed here I actually picked up walking in. It's for some kind of tree. And what do I have to do to this to get a tree? I've got to get rid of it.
No.
Right? I've got to trust it. Put it in the hands of God and trust what God will do. There's nothing I can do. I have no tools. I have no capability. There's nothing I can do to change this from one thing to another. And Paul talked about this when he talked about sharing our faith with others. It said one plants and one waters, but only God makes it grow, which is true in case of all seeds, real seeds and spiritual seeds. Only God can make it grow. So when Jesus said if you had faith of a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to go jump into the sea, and it would. There's something that has to take place. We have to reflect back to his original teaching. He's not saying a little bit of faith can do anything. He's saying that a little bit of faith can become a whole lot of things. But we have to turn it over to God. And I said before, get rid of it, and that was really the wrong phrase to use. We don't get rid of it, but we turn it over and put it in the hands of God. My favorite guy in all Scripture, besides Jesus, I have to say Jesus is favorite, right? But my favorite other guy in all of Scripture, and he's unnamed, is the one who goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief." I love that guy because he expresses what we all go through. We believe, and yet there's something there. We believe in salvation. We believe we're forgiven, and yet we doubt, and yet we won't forgive ourselves. We believe in healing, and yet we worry when we pray. We know things that God can do, and yet we hold something back here in our hearts that because we live in the world that we see. Scripture tells that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. It does not say anything about blind faith. That's a human term, not a biblical one. Faith is not blind. Blind faith is that image of, you know, Indiana Jones jumping off the cliff in the darkness, hoping something's going to appear underneath him. Faith It's something, while we may not see it, faith is holding on to the hand of the one that can see in the dark, the one that can see over the trees, the one that can see over the mountains, the one that can see what's around the bend. It is not blindly leaping anywhere. It is holding on to the one who, again, is immeasurably able to do more than anything we can ask or imagine. You know, the image of the child jumping into his father's arms or holding on to dad's hand as they walk through a crowd, squeezing tighter and tighter, knowing he's going to get through safely. Knowing. It is not the child running into the crowd holding on to nothing. That's not faith. But holding on all he has to the hand of the Father. Faith is not blind. Faith is better than what we see with our eyes. Our eyes are deceiving. We say seeing is believing, but what we see is often deceiving. You may have heard this example before, but if you line up a group of people from different nationalities, different races, different colors, there is no more difference in the DNA between any two than any other two. Black, white, Asian, whatever. There's no greater difference between the DNA of any other two. But when we see with our eyes, we immediately look at the differences between people. But that's not the truth, which is why Samuel said, man looks at the outward appearance, but what? God looks at the heart. See, there's something better than what we can see with our eyes. And I've repeated this so many times, but we learned that, right, in our own experience, that sometime in school you were given a little plate of glass and you looked through this thing and you saw stuff through that microscope that you had no idea was there. But it's real. It's all around us all the time. Or you look through a telescope and you see something that's far off and you see detail that you couldn't see with your naked eye. See, our eyes only give us so much, and it's often deceiving. But faith brings about the truth. Faith brings about what is real. And if our faith is lacking, then what we do is we pray to God and ask Him to increase our faith. God wants our faith to be increased. God wants us to have more faith. But it's a growth process. And so it must be planted. It must be watered. It must be tended to. And much of that comes by doing the things that God directs us to do through the Scriptures. And I'm going to ask everyone here, over the period of the next few weeks, over the period of maybe the rest of the month, to spend some time wandering through the Gospels, looking through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at how Jesus lived, particularly for how he interacted with other people and the things that he told his followers to do. You see, this is the will of God for us. And if we want to receive the things that God wants us to have, including an increased faith, then we have to be following what God wants us to do. We know the parable, right? The talents that one received a certain amount, and he did well with it. And when the master returned, he brought back the increase. And he said, you have done well with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come. Take part in your master's pleasure. God has given us things that are part of His will for our lives, each and every one of us. And I'll repeat these over and over again. Taking care of the hungry. Taking care of the lonely. Taking care of the sick. If we don't do the basic things, if we don't do the few things, God won't expose to us the greater things that He has for us to do, for us to receive. You see, when that mustard seed was planted and it grew in the garden and it became a place for the birds of the air to come and nest. When God blesses us, it is not just for us. When God blesses us, He blesses us so that we may be a blessing to others. The mustard plant doesn't grow for its own edification. It grows to be part of the garden. It grows to be a blessing to things outside itself. And you've probably heard the comparison between the Red Sea and the Dead Sea. You know, the Red Sea is thriving, teeming with sea life, and the Dead Sea is dead. The difference is that the Jordan River flows into and out of the Red Sea. It receives and it gives. The Dead Sea receives and nothing flows out. Therefore, nothing lives. It is a blessing to no one or nothing. God gives to us so that we may give. God will increase our faith if we turn it over to Him. We pray and we ask for favor. We pray and we ask God to cover us. We pray and we ask God to increase our faith. And then we go about doing the things, the tending of the garden. We go about doing those things, reading His Word, spending time in prayer with Him, and then following what His Word says for us to do, telling other people about Jesus. Again, visiting the lonely, feeding the hungry, doing the things that God has told us specifically to do. And the great missionary Hudson Taylor once said, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Unless you've received a direct word from God to stay and not do that, then He was talking to us. Unless someone from God told you, you don't have to do that, then that is a directive for us. How's your faith? How do you feel about the amount of faith you have? Have you commanded any mountains to move? Have they responded? God desires for you to move mountains. All in accordance with His will, but God desires for you to be a great and active member of the kingdom. He wants us to receive. And He wants us to give. Let us take the small things that God has given us, that we know that we have, that we know that we have to do. Let us take and do those things and watch and see how our faith grows. Watch and see how much more often people will respond to you, how you will have more opportunities to share Jesus with someone else because you will become aware that the Spirit is nudging them to you and you to them. Because you become more aware of what the Spirit is saying to you. Because your faith increases and you know that it's real. Watch your defenses against temptation rise and be stronger because faith in the armor of God is our shield. It will grow. God promises. It can grow to be the largest thing that you have. Your faith can grow to be the largest thing that you have. Most of us are so concerned with our lack of faith. Turn it over to God, church. Let Him have and tend to and grow what's inside of you already. Be honest and admit to God, Lord, I believe. Help me in my disbelief. I have a hard time in the world. I have a hard time at work. I have a hard time with my neighbor or with this family member. God will help you with that. But we have to turn it over to Him. And let Him provide the increase. If we do, it is a promise. A promise from a God who can't break promises. That your faith will indeed grow. That you will have opportunities and people will respond to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. good news. God loves us.
Amen.
And there's good news for people who have never heard it, that God loves them too. As our faith increases, it allows us to go with conviction. It allows us to understand the responsibility we have. It also allows us to do it with the authority that God has given us to do. We haven't moved any mountains lately. Go to God. Go to the provider of the increase and ask Him to increase your faith. Follow the steps that He's given you to do. And watch and see what God will do. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, indeed. Indeed, we believe, and indeed, we need help with our unbelief. But we know where to go for help. We know who provides the help. And Father, we know, we have seen that little speck, that real life little speck fall into the ground and become corn or become cabbage or become tomatoes or become apple trees and peach trees. We have seen that with our eyes. We know that something that looks small and insignificant can become something strong and mighty and a blessing and a great blessing. We have seen that in the real world. May we know that it's just as real, that we can take our own faith, which may seem small to us, it may seem insignificant compared to other people, if we choose to do that. It may seem small and insignificant, but we know that You can turn it into something wonderful and mighty and a blessing to others. So, Father, we come to You now as we are. Make us something more.